And now we come to that portion. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. To help you here, I want you to picture yourself by the side of the shepherd, being led down a mountainside into a very dark valley below. Now, say the 23rd Psalm with me, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. If you like I am, you're the kind of person that can handle sunshine. By that I mean you can handle the green pastures and you can handle the still waters. You can handle the mountaintop experience. You can handle the life that is full of joy and peace without any kinds of problems. But then you're not the kind of person that can handle troubles and dangers when they arrive. Now, a lion may go looking for trouble, but you'll never find a sheep doing that. Sheep are creatures that are easy to frighten. If you just make a new or strange sound in the grass, you're likely to stampede a sheep. Or even if a dark shadow comes overhead or is made by something passing by, that too is enough to stampede a flock of sheep. Now, a lot of people associate this portion today of the 23rd Psalm with nothing but funerals, with nothing but the problem of dying. And therefore, it is a portion of Scripture to be quickly forgotten. As soon as the funeral is over, let's forget this part of the 23rd Psalm. Just tell us about the green pastures. Tell us about the still waters. Tell us about the paths of righteousness. Tell us about God restoring our soul. But just don't remind us of the shadow of death, because we just don't want to think about that. So tell us about the mountaintop shepherd. But let me also remind you that the mountaintop shepherd in this 23rd Psalm is also the valley of shadows shepherd. And you cannot separate the two functions of the shepherd. Now, a shepherd faced in his day a common problem. It's sort of like, what do you do when the well runs dry? Well, we say you go out and you drill yourself another water well somewhere else. Well, what does the shepherd do when the green grass is all gone beneath the feet of the sheep? Well, you say he just moves on and finds himself another green pasture. But sometimes that moving on to another green pasture involves a little bit more than it sounds like. Because sometimes the shepherd says, well, we've grazed this entire mountain range of grass, and I see some grass over yonder on the other mountain. Now, the problem is, how will I get my sheep from this mountain range to that mountain range that I see in the distance? He cannot fly his sheep over there, so what he has to do is he must lead his sheep down the mountain path, down into the valley of the shadow of death, and come back up on the other side of the other mountain, and thereby provide his sheep again with some green pastures. But he cannot get his sheep from one pasture to the other pasture unless he takes them through the valley between the two mountains. And when he is winding around in the valley below among all the tall rocks and the cliffs, there are many shadows, there are many dark spots, and the sheep become very frightened of all these shadows because they remind them of the unknown dangers and terrors that lurk or could lurk in this dark valley. Now, the path of righteousness that our shepherd leads us down oftentimes winds right down into a path that goes through the valley of the shadows to get us up on another mountain range that the Lord has in plan for us. And seldom do we associate the valleys with the will of God and the path of righteousness and the plan of God. We always associate the green pastures and the mountaintop experiences as being heaven sent But according to this psalm, the valleys are just as heaven-sent and godly designed and chosen as the mountaintops are. And some folks promote a false view about Christianity. They say, well, if the sheep never sins and he never strays, well, he'll never have any problems. He'll have a fair-weather voyage, his whole earthly journey. He'll be trouble-free all the way. He'll have prosperity and everything's going to be rosy. Well, brethren, that's just not biblical. That's not even the 23rd Psalm picture. That's not a biblical concept, as we'll see in a few minutes as we look at it. God plans to take his sheep through the valley of the shadows. And the Bible definitely states that Christ is preparing for his sheep an eventual heavenly mountaintop paradise. But I don't find any such promise concerning an earthly paradise. Only regarding the heavenly pastures do I find the words, no sorrows, no tears, no troubles, and no pains. Now we shudder as human beings. We shudder as shy sheep at the thought of having to go through the valley of the shadows of death. But if you and I are honest, you know that your life and my life is filled with such deep valleys. Circumstances that frighten us. And circumstances beyond which we have any control. Circumstances that trouble us. Circumstances that really threaten us with physical harm and even death. It's no wonder that the sheep become frightened, because we are faced with many trials and many problems that to us threaten our very existence. We are cast into the troubled shadows of poverty, or the shadows of accidents, or the shadows of sickness, or some kind of failure, or some type of discouragement, or some type of dilemma. And we could go on and on with the kinds of valleys of problems that we can find ourselves entering into. Now, the sheep need to learn that there are going to be times when the shepherd must transport us from one mountain peak experience of delight and joy to another, but by way of the valley, or two valleys, or maybe three valleys, or even more. You can't escape the dark valleys and the trials and the problems, because they are a part of the path of righteousness that our shepherd will lead us down. But let me go on to add, we as God's sheep have a shepherd. And though we do not see him with our human eyes, we are assured in this psalm, he will not forsake us. If he leads us into the valley, he stays with us through the valley. We are assured that the shepherd is there with us. Here again, we need to understand what it is that we as sheep need, and what it is that we as sheep want our God to provide for us, what it is that our shepherd promises to give to us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want for courage. My, how we need courage to face the valleys of our lives. This is what the psalmist meant in the fourth verse. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I shall not want, he implies, for courage. It's the presence of the shepherd that'll make the difference as you go through these times of uncertainty. You say, well, you mean he'll remove me from the valleys, and he'll remove me from the shadows, and he'll remove me from the dangers. He'll enable me to run around the valley, or he'll enable me to jump over the valley. No, I don't mean that at all. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will find Christ my shepherd walking with me. That's what I mean. That's what the psalmist meant. And we must be prepared not to flee from it, not to escape it. For to do that, you flee from the shepherd and try to escape his presence. It is better to be in the valley under the shepherd's care than out of the valley, astray on a mountainside, away from his care. Because you see, troubles can come to you on the mountaintop just as they can come to you in the valley. Lions don't just stay in the valley. They can get out on the mountaintop too. And the only safe thing that you can do as a sheep is to stay where the shepherd is. No matter what trouble comes, it's safer to be with the shepherd than by yourself. Now, just how black do you see your valleys to be? Do you see them as hopeless black? Or do you see them as just hardship black? Now, sad to say, a lot of Christians see their troubles as hopeless black. Well, it's never that bad. An English painter one time, using watercolors, painted a scene of a shipwreck in his younger days, and he considered this to be his masterpiece of art. When he was old, he asked his servant to go and bring that painting to him. He wanted to look at it once again, and so he did. And when he looked at it, he asked the servant to also bring him a brush and his paints. The servant said, "What are you going to do?" And the man said, "I must brighten the black clouds in this picture. It used to seem that I had them right, but now as I look back over life, I painted the black clouds a little bit too black." I think we sometimes, as God's sheep, paint the shadows blacker than they really are. We paint the shadows so black that we can't even see the shepherd anymore. And the shadows will never become so black that you can't find the shepherd and you can't see the shepherd leading you on. When there is a shadow to frighten, there is always the Lord there to lighten. Psalm 63:7, "Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings I will rejoice." Psalms 55:4-6:22, "My heart is pain within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Filthiness and trembling are come upon me. And I said, oh, that I had wings, that I could fly away and be at rest." Then he says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." There is never a cloud so black that you can't see the shepherd saying, "Now listen, cast your troubles on me, and cast your burdens on me, and just stay with me, and you can still see me here. Things are not that black." We know that Christ is in the dark valley with us, but we're dealing with shadows. And in a shadow, you can always see some light, especially when the one that we are following is the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. You must also remember that in the valley, that God has purposes and plans to reach the other side. No shepherd ever took his sheep into the valley and left them there. They'd starve to death. There's always the plan to take you out of the valley to the other side where there will be green pastures. God is always unfolding a schedule, an event to take place as he leads you through the valley. There must be green pastures on the other side. He has led you from green pastures that have gone dry or they are no longer edible, and so he's taken you to other green pastures, and you are now either on a green pasture or you find yourself in between, but you're on your way. "I shall not want for courage." You follow Christ in obedience, then follow Christ in confidence. Without a doubt, there is a pattern in the way God deals with his sheep. And this pattern is repeated time and again in Scripture. Let me give you just a few illustrations. The first is Jesus feeding the 5,000. Now you'd call that a mountaintop experience. You'd call that the green pasture scene where the people are being blessed of the Lord and a miracle is taking place and people are being nourished and refreshed. Then the disciples are told to get in the boat and go across to the other side, and they do it. In the middle of the water, a storm comes up, and you find the disciples who had just been on the mountaintop now find themselves in the valley of the shadow of death. and the boat is about to capsize and sink, and they're about to drown. And then we find Christ the shepherd comes, stills the waters, and takes them on the other side to the shore. And again, there are miracles and blessings and refreshment. There again is the green pasture. Then there was Israel. God freed them from bondage in Egypt, and so, of course, that would be the green pastures. God was leading them out, and then they faced the Red Sea, and there was the valley of the shadow of death. They could not go forward because there was the waters, and behind them came the Egyptian army. And then the shepherd came and divided the Red Sea, led them through the valley of the shadow of death to the other side, where there again you find green pastures. Then there was a testimony of Paul in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 11 through 13. Notice his words. I have learned, in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. I am instructed both in how to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Paul said, I have learned in whatever state I am. There are two states. Basically, there's two states. Either the green pasture state or the valley of shadow state. And he said, in the green pasture state, I've learned how to abound. Then the opposite, in the valley, I've learned how to be abased. In the green pastures, I've learned how to be full. In the valley, I've learned how to be hungry. In the green pastures, I've learned how to abound. In the valley, I've learned need. I can do all things, irregardless, because the shepherd is with me in the green pastures, and the shepherd is with me in the valley of the shadows. Now, future blessings of the Lord depend on you finding and being moved constantly to new pastures. Now, we all like a rainbow, but if there are no storms, there will be no rainbows. Now, we want to be a fair-weather Christian, but now, let's face it, fair-weather Christians will never see rainbows. It's in the valleys, you see, that we are able to realize God's power. It's in the valleys that you see the miracles of God. It's in the valleys that you see the rescues of God. It's then that we stand amazed in the presence of our shepherd, far more in the valley than on the hillside where there are green pastures. When you find yourself in the valley, just get ready for a miracle, because sometimes that's the only way God can get you out of the valley to green pastures. So when you face your own Red Sea, remember God's power, if necessary, will be used to get you through. And that's the great testimonies of our life, is how God delivered us, not from the green pastures, but how God delivered us from the valley of the shadows of death. You'll never have the testimony of Psalms 103:4 until you've learned to go through the dark valleys. What is that psalm? Bless the Lord, who has redeemed thy life from destruction. Now, not every dark valley brings death. Actually, you and I enter thousands of dark valleys that could end in death, but they haven't yet. Why does God let us go through dark valleys? Well, there are probably many reasons that I don't know, but let me give you just this morning six very rapidly reasons why I believe God allows us to go through dark valleys. Number one, He wants to reveal to you that you have a powerful shepherd. He wants to reveal His ability to deliver. When He does that, you'll praise Him. And secondly, He wants to train His sheep. And there's so many things that He could train us in this matter of going through a valley, but I think He wants to primarily train us that this world is not our home, and we're just a passing through. And trivial things, material things, become very trivial when we're in the valley of the shadow. Things take on a new light when we get in the valley of the shadow. We find that life is so uncertain when in the valley. We realize how much we need the shepherd in the valley. We also realize how much wasted effort and time and activity we have done in the valley. We make new promises in the valley. We realize how feeble we are without the shepherd in the valley. We realize how precious time is. And we make plans for the future, the right kind of plans when in the valley. Then the third thing, I think He leads us there because it deepens our devotion to Him. You'll sing best. and you'll pray best, and you'll praise best, and you'll think your best when you're in the valley. Then fourthly, I think he leads us there to move us into new areas of ministry. That is, to move us to new pastures. Yesterday's experience, yesterday's green pastures, they're gone. Today's a new day. And the Lord said, I must lead my people continually into new experiences and new pastures. I want to read something to you I got in the mail yesterday. I found to be very interesting, and it shows this pattern that God leads his people through of being in the green pastures and in the valley and back in the green pastures. It's about a man who was in Siberia. He was a Christian, and he was in the green pasture because he was able to get in the country, and he wanted to somehow witness to people about Jesus, and he had a couple of Bibles with him. And so he was traveling from a town to a village, and on the way, a young girl ran up behind him and told him to run for his life. There was danger behind. He said, what's wrong? And she said, there are a wolf pack behind me, and they're chasing me, and you must run for your life too. And so he saw the fright on the girl's face, so he began to run after her. And so as they continued to run, the man was in the valley of the shadow. He said, well, will these dogs catch up with us? Will these dogs kill us? And so he looked up, and the young girl was heading towards a little farmhouse, and so she rushed in the door, and he right behind her, and they shut the door behind him, and the mother and father stood there, and they were shocked both by her running in, and there was the man behind her. They did not really know what was going on. The daughter immediately said, of course, that they were being chased by wolves. And the man just made the comment, thank the Lord, you're safe. The man said the way he said, he knew that he meant it. And so he learned that they had just become Christians in the last several months by listening to a radio broadcast, Far East Broadcasting in the Philippines. And he said that after he accepted Christ, that he and his wife and child prayed, God, if you're really God, would you please put your word in our home? Would you please give us a Bible? And so he wrote a letter outside of the communist country asking if somehow God would send the Bible. And months had passed and there was no answer. Now remember, the man was in the green pastures before he started running. Then he was in the valley of the shadow. And the man pulled out of his pocket a Bible and answered that man's prayer and gave it to him. And the man rejoiced and said, I know that God is really God. He sent that Bible by you. Now the man was back in green pastures. Now, again, fifthly, we feel that God leads us in the valley of shadows to draw us near to the shepherd, that we'll trust him more. And then sixthly, that we are led in the valley of shadows, that we'll be molded into the image of Christ as we go through various kinds of experiences. Romans 8:18. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. If we could stand in his side and see what he sees, how baseless would be our fears this day. But we cannot see what he sees, but we can hear what he says. Fear not, I am with you. Romans 8:28, a very good verse at this point. We know all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Someday you and I will enter one valley that we'll not come out of, and that'll be the valley not of the shadow, but that'll be the valley of death. But the shepherd has a promise for us when that moment comes. John 10:27-28, Jesus the shepherd says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Then there was Romans 8:38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor things present nor things to come shall be able to separate us from the love of God. You know, God's storms always blow us towards heaven's port. Therefore, you have reason this morning to be optimistic if you're in the valley of shadows. And if not, you still have reason to be optimistic, for the shepherd will never leave you. And you're on your way down the path of righteousness to the place of bliss. And in the meantime, the shepherd will work a miracle or two to bring you through.